Welcome to the Passionate Pursuit of Pedagogical Perfection podcast, episode 5, Crave Learning Autonomy. I'm your host, Aaron Daffern, and this week we will be looking at the third of 5 facets of student motivation, autonomy. Specifically, we will be looking at how giving students a choice and a voice in some of their educational decisions helps motivate them and increases the engagement in the classroom. Now, one of the phrases that a lot of people think about whenever they're thinking of motivation is intrinsic motivation or internal motivation, and that is usually contrasted with extrinsic motivation. So the difference, briefly, is intrinsic motivation comes from within. Students are motivated because they want to do something, whereas extrinsic or external motivation is a carrot and a stick situation. You are tempting them, bribing them, rewarding them, pushing them, cajoling them. Somehow that external motivation is being used to try to drive them. And most educators and most people know that intrinsic motivation is far superior to extrinsic motivation. Extrinsic motivation, whether it be a prize, a reward, a grade, a sticker, something out of a prize box, that works as long as you are willing to continue that extrinsic motivation. But once that stops, the motivation dries up with it. And so whenever we talk about motivation, a lot of teachers will think of intrinsic motivation. And that's where autonomy comes in. A few weeks ago, we talked about competence, the idea of students' self-beliefs being powerful. One of the ideas that comes from educational research is that intrinsic motivation requires two components. Students need to feel like they are in control, they need to have a sense of autonomy, and they also need to have a sense of competence to be intrinsically motivated. And if you think about it, it makes sense. If you are going to be internally motivated, if you're going to push yourself to do something, you need to A, have the choice and have the ability to choose what you are doing. Because if you feel like you are being forced or cornered or coerced into something, then it's not really your choice to do it. It's somebody else's choice. And so that's by definition an extrinsic or external motivating factor. But also, even if it is your choice to do something and it's internal, if you don't feel like you have the ability to complete something, if you feel like it's outside of your ability range or you don't have the tools necessary, if you don't feel competent, you're still not going to be motivated to do something. So, for example, if you are attempting to get into shape and your goal is to run 1 mile, And that's your goal. You want to be able to run 1 mile without stopping, no matter how slow it is. You haven't run since middle school physical education class, and your goal is to try to get yourself up into shape. That is something that you can choose to do, and that is something you feel is within your ability, so you can be intrinsically motivated to run 1 mile if you are out of shape. But if for some reason you were to start thinking about, well, I want to run a marathon, I want to run 26.2 miles, you probably won't have the intrinsic motivation to do that, because even though it would be your choice, that is something that is going to seem like it's outside of your ability to do. It's too difficult. When you can't even run 1 mile without being winded, running 26.2 miles is completely out of the question. So the educational reality is, if we want students to be intrinsically motivated to learn, if we want them to learn because they want to learn, not because of a grade, not because of graduation requirements, not because their parents make them, not because we bribe them or force them or whatever, intrinsic motivation requires autonomy and it requires competence. Students need to feel like it's their choice and they have the ability to do it. So autonomy is very important in the overall motivational picture. Additionally, autonomy helps students regulate their emotions. I'm sure some of you have had situations to where you've taught students and they felt like they were completely out of control and they did not have the ability to regulate their emotions or to think. They just did. They just emoted, and whatever they thought, they did. and they were a live wire. You never knew what you were going to get. And as counterintuitive as it might seem, research also shows that if we give these students choices, rather than them going hog wild, it's going to help them learn how to regulate their emotions. It might be a little bit frightening, but one of the best ways to help students regulate their emotions and build persistence is to give them choices, is to give them a little bit of freedom, a little bit of responsibility, and slowly and surely build up their track record of success. Also, an increased sense of control has been shown by research to lead to deeper conceptual learning, creativity, and information recall. When learning is forced on students and they feel like it is somebody else's desire for them to learn, what ends up happening is it becomes more rote learning, more surface level processing, because it's not theirs. It's somebody else's. It's not their choice. It's being forced upon them. Learning is being done to them rather than by them. And so the learning ends up being a lot more shallow. Whereas if we give students a choice, even if it's a minimal choice, it's not as if we're talking about educational chaos here where every kid decides what they want to do. It could be a choice as to how they show what they learn or how they process their information or even which problems on the assignment they want to do. There's various ways to keep everyone together and incorporating little bits of choice. So we'll talk about one of my favorite activities at the very end of this podcast. But any bit of choice that we can give these students, any bit of autonomy, will help increase their sense of control, and that in turn increases their motivation, their conceptual learning, and their overall engagement. All students like to feel a sense of autonomy. They like to feel like they have some control over their lives, whether it be their education, whether it be their family lives, whether it be their social lives. But for these students that are highly motivated by this particular facet, if they are in a controlling teacher's classroom, a teacher that is almost like a dictator and has very specific ways that every single thing needs to be done, whether it be how students enter the classroom or how they put their heading on their paper or where they turn in their paper to the trays or what color ink they use for their homework assignments, these students are going to be demotivated and they're going to actually be pretty rebellious for these teachers. For the students that are highly motivated by autonomy, they will just instinctively, just knee-jerk reaction, they will start bucking the system, and they will start fighting back against controlling teachers, and they might even be typically well-behaved, mild-mannered students. It's just more of an instinctive reaction, because we all like to have a sense of freedom and a sense of control, but for these students, where this is their strongest motivational facet, this really cuts to the core of who they are. And so teachers that keep too tight of a leash on their classroom can actually be hurting themselves, and they could be creating problems where no problems existed previously. So how can teachers actually increase a student's sense of autonomy? How can they boost motivation and engagement? Well, one of the best ways to do that is to incorporate various classroom structures. Structures don't control students. What they do is they provide a framework of expectations. Students don't want chaos. They don't want to come into a classroom and have no idea what to do. They want to know what the expectations are, as long as they're reasonable. And they want to have the ability to meet those expectations as they see fit or with their own flavor. And so one of the things that teachers can do to increase a student's sense of autonomy is to think about decision making. Think about the 8 million decisions that need to be made every single day within every single classroom. Typically, it's the teacher that has to make these decisions. But if there's any way to push some of those decisions off to students, that's going to help motivate some of these students. For example, if there are 2 assignments that need to be done by the end of the class period, do they have to do them in a specific order, or can the teacher allow the students to choose which one to do first? Can the students choose to work alone or with a partner? If there are a lot of problems on a particular homework assignment, can they choose 3 out of every 4? Anytime you can push some of these simple decisions off to the students, that is going to help increase their sense of autonomy. Another way that teachers can boost their students' sense of autonomy is to give them opportunities to develop responsibility. Don't spoon-feed them. If you expect great things from them, your students will typically rise to the level of your expectations, but that doesn't mean you just throw them to the wolves. A lot of times, schools will provide planners or agendas for students, but how many times do teachers actually spend a few moments showing the students how to use them, how to organize their assignments, how to put due dates on there? And if you have larger projects that have that are due maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks down the road, teachers can help their students develop autonomy by showing them that they should set little benchmark dates, little midpoint assignments, so they don't wait to do everything until the last minute. Setting clear expectations gives your students a sense of responsibility and control. When they know what is expected of them and they have the ability to meet those expectations, that is going to help boost their motivational facet of autonomy. So here are just a few questions to consider about student expectations before class, during class, and after class. Think about whether you know the answer, but more importantly, whether your students know the answer. So before class, do students know what they are supposed to do with their backpacks? If they were absent yesterday, where do they find missing work? How is homework to be turned in? Does it need to be in a certain bin by a certain time of the period? Is there some kind of starting task like a bell ringer? If so, how long do they have to complete it? And will it even need to be completed, or is it just for practice? Does it need to be turned in? And if so, when? Should students be in their seats before the bell rings, or are they waiting for some kind of signal like the teacher's voice or a bell or announcements to signal the beginning of class? During class, do students know where directions are going to be posted for the current activity? If they need to use a restroom or get a drink of water, can they do that at any time, or is there some kind of procedure for getting permission? When you, the teacher, need to get the student's attention, how are you going to do that? Is there some kind of signal? Do you clap? Do you flick the lights? What do you do to get the student's attention? When can the students use the pencil sharpener? Are they supposed to simply have two pencils sharpened before class, and if they go through those two pencils, they're on their own, or can they get up at any time to sharpen their pencils? If they don't have other supplies like paper or a folder or a textbook, what do they do? If they need to be recognized to talk, do they raise their hand or can they just call out? Are there different acceptable noise levels for types of work like seat work or group work or class discussion? And then finally, as class ends, how are students supposed to get packed up by the end of class? Do they wait until you dismiss them? Do they wait until the bell rings? Or can they get up packed up a few minutes before the class actually ends? Classwork that is worked on during the class period, does it need to be turned in before they leave, or can they finish it as homework? And do they have the ability to stay after class for a few minutes to finish something up? The answers to these questions are very important. These are the types of decisions that happen every single day within a class period. And if teachers can be very clear with their expectations, and if they can communicate the answers to these questions as much as possible to the students beforehand, that is going to give them a sense of responsibility. That is going to allow them the freedom to operate within your expectations without having to stop and ask you every single moment what they need to do. That is going to help boost their motivation and their engagement. I want to leave you with one of my favorite teaching strategies. It's called DIY assignment, do-it-yourself assignment. It's based off the six levels of Bloom's revised taxonomy: remembering, understanding, applying, analyzing, evaluating, and creating. With the DIY assignment, teachers create various questions or little tasks based on each of these six levels, and there are lots of free resources on the internet about question stems for Bloom's revised taxonomy, and then students choose how they want to complete these tasks. For example, you could assign a point value to each of these six levels. So for example, remembering questions or tasks are going to be basic recall. They're going to be simple write there questions or tasks, and those might be worth 1 point each. Whereas your third level, applying, are going to be a little bit more complex because you're needing to take the knowledge and apply it, and those questions or those tasks are going to be worth 3 points each, all the way up to level 6, creating, which could be worth 6 points each. And that is going to be the most complex of all, because they're going to need to create something out of their own experience, or they're going to need to synthesize various pieces of information, and it's going to be much more difficult and complex than a level 1 task. And in this DIY assignment, you tell your students, you need to give me 10 points or 15 points. You set the point limit, and how the students complete the task and how they get those 10 points or 15 points is completely up to them. So you're honoring their sense of autonomy. And they can choose to either do a whole bunch of smaller, lower level tasks worth 1 or 2 points each, or they can knock it out with 1 or possibly 2 higher level, level 5 or level 6 tasks. And what this does is this allows the students to choose their level of task, how much they want to do, whether it be a whole bunch of smaller tasks or just 1 or 2 larger tasks. And it also allows them to self-regulate, because if they start with something extremely difficult and they find that it's outside of their ability, they can either ask for assistance and they can attempt to complete that, or they can move down and they can start a lower level task that they can do on their own. So it allows much flexibility in how students complete their tasks. And quite honestly, you will be very, very surprised at how many students, even what you would consider your most struggling students, how many of them will jump straight to the top. Because regardless of how hard it is, most students want to do less assignments, even if those assignments incorporate much more thinking and a much longer process. And so the idea of doing 1 or 2 higher level questions for most students is going to be appealing than doing 5, 6, 7 lower level tasks. And so this DIY assignment, which you would create specifically to whatever text or whatever skill or process you're learning, allows students the flexibility to choose the level that they're working at. And by design, it is differentiated with various levels of structures and support for both your struggling students and your accelerated students. I hope you learned a few things about a student's sense of autonomy and how that motivates them to engage in the classroom, and you have many ideas as to how you can increase your student's sense of autonomy by providing various classroom structures and clear expectations. Join me next week as we will be looking at the 4th facet of student motivation, value, and remember, never stop improving.